This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cool. Wait. God. Okay. First of all, it's Friday, right?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. And secondly, was I just going to... Oh, so I went to Target yesterday and got an umbrella for the backyard. Went out this morning, it was gone.
What? Oh, because of the wind?
Yes.
Did it kill
anyone?
It fucking
Mary Poppins'd over the fence and went into the alley. Wait, let me see.
Oh my God.
Pretty great. I want to post it, but then people will know what my alley looks like.
Right.
So this is me looking for it, looking through the fence.
Oh my God! That is a giant umbrella.
Yeah. And I didn't think to close it
right
in these fucking 90 mile per hour winds.
Did you?
I bad breath.
Oh, you didn't. Did you go get it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I took it down.
Did you think someone stole it? I was like, what's wrong with your neighborhood?
You know what's sad is I didn't think, I just didn't understand.
Right.
I just stood there baffled for like 30 right. seconds.
Have you done that with your car when you like accidentally put it somewhere else and you just... your brain like just tries to make sense of it for a minute.
I feel like that my brain is in that mode all the time now. Just like, wait, what?
Oh, did we start? That was a good start that I didn't even think about.
Did we start?
Yeah, I was recording.
Oh. What are we talking
Steven,
about?
Steven.
I mean, can you hear me?
Can you hear Steven?
No, we're... Oh. Oh, we're good. We didn't have our headphones on.
There we are.
Steven, I can't hear you.
Wait, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yep.
You're doing something wrong, Steven. I can't hear you.
Steven, it's your fault. I can't hear you. Wait, had you started?
Yeah, it started recording.
Oh. Perfection.
I guess we're doing hometowns first.
Oh, but before we start hometowns, welcome. This is my favorite murder. The Minnesota edition, where we read you your hometown stories that you've emailed us. But before we start that, we simply must save and open up some sacred space for the fact that last night, George and I discovered that we both have tramp stamps. What up, America?
Oh, my God.
America.
I think we should show each other ours, but I think we should wait for the real episode, so you have to tune back in.
What a cliffhanger
on this week's. Oh, would you think that there are people out there that only listen to the minisodes?
Yeah.
Oh,
and they're just like, well, I guess I'll never know.
Yeah.
And they don't. They're fine with it.
We're gonna show each other our asses on next week's my favorite murder, or this week's my favorite murder, the Fullsies.
Turns out we're a couple of dumb sluts. It's what you've suspected all along is true.
And we're going to tell each other the stories about them.
Oh,
it's going to be... No, don't do it. I want to hear bad.
Yeah, we'll save it.
Okay.
But I will tell you all, we had dinner last night, and the look on each other's face when we were like, sorry, what is this you're telling me? Wait, was it at dinner?
Yeah.
Okay.
You have a tramp stamp? Yes, hey, you have a tramp stamp?
Wait, what time
did we not know this? We're like bonded now for life.
There's no go back now.
Mine looks like truck flaps, you know, when they have like the ladies on the, that's what mine looks like.
But are the pictures naked ladies?
No. Oh God, can you imagine?
Oh really? Because I have two Yosemite Sams saying back off. This is amazing.
What if that was real?
Okay.
You go first.
Let's get serious.
Let's stop it. Let's
stop
get it.
It.
Let's stop it. Let's start it.
Laura, get out of my room. Okay. The only thing I have here. Jesus Christ. So here it is.
Yeah.
Here it is, Steven. So borderline fired because I couldn't find my paper.
Couldn't find the paper that you worked on.
That, yeah.
Printed.
That Steven did everything for. Hello. Oh. No. Steven.
Is it a baby killer one?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. No.
Now he's getting in trouble for the fact that this is a murder podcast.
He's giggling. I can see it. He's in trouble for that. He's like, have you guys known what you ever talked about?
Steven, why did you invent murder? Okay. The subject line of this one, of our first hometown murder today, is Ball Peen Hammers and Michael Baden. Who's that? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Okay. Hey, Georgia. Hey, Karen, Georgia, Steven, Mimi, Elvis, etc. Big fan, blah, blah, blah. Smiley face with a winking eye. Or with an infected eye. We don't know. My hometown murder hits close to home. My mom was a key witness. Fuck yes. Sandra Sandy Allen was a young mother and wife here in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. Her husband, Steven, was an accountant and she worked at the local mall.
Steven!
On the night of June 11th, 1990, Steve Allen arrived home and claimed to have seen an intruder in his backyard who immediately ran off. Mm-hmm. He locked his car with his kids in it. Because that's safe with an intruder running around, and ran inside and found his wife badly beaten on the floor. At the hospital, where my mom was a nurse, shout out to nurses, what up? Steve was observed to be very calm and cooperative, but also covered in blood front and back. Sadly, while Sandy fought for her life, she died shortly after arriving. Aww. During the search of the Allen house, police found a ball peen hammer covered in Sandy's blood and Steve's fingerprints wrapped in a towel in the attic. Because, you know, he, quote, grabbed it randomly and thought it might make him look good guilty, so he hid it.
Oh, hey. Yeah, that's like, what we do.
Jesus.
Are the kids still in the cars? That's my question.
And is the sun shining directly on that car?
We never address that.
They're still there to this day. It was 1990 when this happened. They're now all in their 30s. They're looking for relationships. They would love to get good jobs. Sorry. Okay. So during the search, even more surprisingly, he was found to be having an affair with a secretary at work and some really strange sexual preferences his wife was not comfortable with and had been causing some major marital problems.
I want to know.
I know. We're not going to find out because this is ending right now. God damn it.
I want to know.
Like, what is a weird perversion that would actually cause that? Bring you to this, where it's just like, here's this thing. I know you're pretty conservative in bed. I love to murder my wife. So could we get into some murder my wife play?
And she's like, I'm not into that.
It doesn't do anything for me.
It doesn't make me comfortable.
It actually makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Okay. Seemingly, Dr. Michael Baden testified for the defense, saying he didn't think the hammer could have been the murder weapon. Steve was convicted and is serving.
It's a hammer. How could that not be the fucking... Sorry.
No. That's fine. Oh, that's why... Okay. Do you know who Dr. Michael Baden is?
No.
Is he like...
Oh, I bet he's like a forensic-y dude.
A bad guy? But he... Well, he testified for the defense, though. That's crazy. So then the bloody hammer that was in the attic wasn't even the murder weapon, according to a doctor?
Well, doctors... Nurses, yes. Doctors.
Doctors, no way.
No.
He was the chief medical examiner of the city of New York from 78 to 79. He gave testimony at the trial of O.J. Simpson. He was there as an expert witness on Sid Vicious's death, John Belushi's death, Lisa McPherson's death. David Carradine to investigate David Carradine's death. Oh man, he's in it.
So he's like a celebrity death expert.
Physician, yeah.
I don't trust him.
Okay. I mean, it seems like you have good reason. Steve was convicted and is serving life in prison, but maintains his innocence. His kids live with Sandy's family.
Aww.
So they're out of the car and all good with Sandy's family. That's awful and depressing. My mom stayed sexy and put that murderer in jail.
Girl.
Stay out of the forest, Lena. Your mom sure did. God, that's... What if? I always do that.
What? Your husband had killed you?
No, what if it's a total Shawshank situation and he really did come home and is like, what's this bloody hammer doing here? And then the end.
There has to be some of them that legitimately happens, but it's like always, I wonder what percentage of like husbands have been put away that didn't do it.
I know.
But we're also having an affair and we're also into some kinky shit.
Yeah, but what was the kinky shit?
I bet it's you and I'd be like, oh, I've done that. Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah, that's like where I start.
Yeah.
That's fucking foreplay, man.
It's someone that's like being hung from one toe from the ceiling. Georgia. Oh, shit.
Who cares?
Get into it.
It's just getting a tramp stamp.
Tending. Oh, my God.
That's it. That's what you're into.
It was. I did it once and it was so sexually satisfying. I will never do it again.
But you think about it every time.
Oh, my God. I bring it back.
You sex.
Every time I sex around.
Do you want to hear a not so normal family massacre? I'm going to say yes. Or killer dentist. Or my creepy ass hometown murder.
Those all sound great.
I know, right? Okay, let's start with, let's do what?
Dentist.
The dentist. Killer dentist.
That's my pick.
Okay. Hi, Karen and Georgia. So, my hometown is a little redneck hick town called Camrose. It's in Alberta, Canada, and nothing ever happens there. One of the dentists in town, I'll call him Mr. B, had a weird rumor drifting around that he had killed his wife in the early 90s. The story goes, Dr. B took her out on a boat on a nearby lake. She was wearing a fur and she, quote, fell into the water and drowned due to the heavy fur coat dragging her under. But in actuality, according to the rumors, Dr. B pushed her into the lake. I was petrified of this dentist when I was a kid and refused to go to him. Maybe this is where my insane fear of dentists stems from. Everyone in town knows the story or knows a version of it. His house was avoided at all costs. And at Halloween, my friends and I would dare each other to run up and touch it.
Yeah.
Just touch it.
Yes.
So in 2009, Dr. B was driving impaired and crashed his car, killing his passenger. Due to the already sordid rumors that had floated around the city for years, this cemented Dr. B as the killer dentist of Camrose. Ooh. He was sentenced to 2.5 years and a 5-year ban from driving. I'm not sure how much of the rumors regarding the death of his wife are true, but Dr. B no longer practices in town. Yeah, because everyone's going after him. Upon researching his name, he's fled the country and has a few international dating site profiles floating around.
Oh, good.
And then she wrote, eep! Hopefully anyone new he meets isn't into voting. Thanks again for reading. Can't wait for more My Favorite Murder. Stay sexy. Bye, Jocelyn.
Wow. That's good. Yeah. I love us, like, because there is a, what would you say, 60% chance? That's totally small town gossip.
I think so too.
Like some, say a hygienist was pissed. He was a dick to some employee. Yeah. And they're like, well, you know what I thought? You know what I think?
Well, what are the chances that, like, she fell, she fell in the pool, in the lake. And then, like, he would have helped her.
And also, you can take, the amazing thing about fur coats is we're not bears, so you can take it off.
I mean,
you
unless
don't have
she,
to drown.
Well, unless she couldn't swim, but then it's like, well, why would he take her out on the water then? And
yeah, but
why wouldn't she be wearing a life? So yeah, I think you did it.
Yeah, exactly. That's like, oh, I want to take you out over this cliff and dangle you over a cliff.
I don't even like hiking. When it's like, no, we gotta go. I like it all of a sudden.
Oh, bring them all the most expensive accoutrement that you have, please.
REI, your
all of it. Do you have any like a fur-lined tent? Bring it.
Okay, you go.
Okay. Why did I put it all the way down? I'm exhausted. Okay. This is Hometown Murder Suicide.
Uh-oh.
Hey, George and Karen. Thank you for doing this podcast. I love you both and just binge listened to your podcast and felt like you might enjoy my hometown murder. I bet we will. When I was in high school, there was a murder-suicide in my neighborhood, all caps. Mm. I was 18 and living in a retirement community with my grandparents.
That sounds awesome.
There's your TV show. Write that TV show.
Totally.
Right now, make a list of all...
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye. Hey, Karen, you know that feeling when you're stressed out and your heart starts to pound and your mind is racing?
I do. I know it well.
Well, while there's no cure for stress, therapy can help shape your response to it. And since May is Mental Health Awareness Month, there's no better time to try Talkspace.
When you sign up for Talkspace, you'll receive a personalized match with a therapist or psychologist, typically within 48 hours.
Forbes rates Talkspace as the number one online therapy platform, plus their licensed professionals are in network with almost all major insurance companies.
Once you meet your therapy goals, or if you want to cancel for any reason, Talkspace will provide you with a prorated refund for unused time. I feel like these days people understand the importance of therapy, but the difficult part is just taking that first step. It took me months to make my first therapy appointment. I was so scared. I had a lot of ideas in my head about it. And that's why I think Talkspace is such a good idea, because making it so approachable will just get you there sooner. Then you can actually get in there, figure out what you need, talk to an actual professional, and be on your way to solving some stuff that you might want to solve.
To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering our listeners $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80.
Go to Talkspace.com/MFM and use promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/MFM and enter promo code SPACE80 and get $80 off your first month and show your support for our show.
That's Talkspace.com/MFM. Enter promo code SPACE80.
Goodbye.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Kraft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com. Goodbye.
All the weirdest, funniest, or even dumbest things that happen to you and put them together. That's how people get famous.
Let's name it right now. Retirement. Retirement boy.
The youth of yesterday.
Oh.
That's the worst thing I've ever said.
Bringing back grandma.
Yep.
Is it a Hallmark movie? Yes. It's a Hallmark movie.
And then he falls in love with, like, the groundskeeper's daughter.
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody else that's there that's too young to be there. She, like, cleans the pool or whatever.
Yep.
And it's called... I Medicare About You.
There it is. That was it. Good job.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Or what about... never mind. No.
If you think of it, just interrupt
me. Okay, I've had no coffee. Okay.
Shout it out. Do you want a sip of that coffee? Oh, I didn't bring it in. You guys, listen. Stop it. Listen.
Oh, Steven's getting it. Oh, no, Steven.
Yes, that's what we hired him for, and don't pay him. Thank you.
Oh, can I tell the story of how Steven, I called the payroll company to pay you, and the guy wrote me an email, and he's like, hey, you know, let me know if you need anything. It was like a boring form letter, and then it's, you know, really stupid, boring, and then at the end it said, by the way, or P.S., don't get murdered. Yeah. And I was like, ah! That was so cool.
We've broken into the payroll genre.
Yeah.
Incredible. So what we're saying, Stephen, is you're going to get that check in 12 to 18 weeks. All right. So he's 18, living in a retirement community with, I said him, but yes, it is him. Okay. 18, living in a retirement community with his grandparents. One day I came up. That must have been a show already. It must have been a show already.
Well, I was thinking like a 6-year-old would be fun, not an 18-year-old. Because then it's kind of like, move out.
What if it's a 6-year-old who can drive?
What if he has a golf cart that he rides around?
He got it for his birthday because he's rich. Then his parents died.
Yeah.
And he had to go live with his grandparents.
Yeah.
We'll work on this after.
Okay.
Get serious. One day I came home and I remember my grandmother told me that a man had... Hard left. A man had shot his wife multiple times and then killed himself. The two children I used to play with at the community pool when we were younger were with their grandparents the night and that night and morning. So they weren't there, but now are parentless. Ugh. I remember the husband clearly because one day he was forcing the kids in the pool to teach them how to swim. He was very aggressive towards them and that gave me a bad vibe about him. Oh. Turns out I wasn't wrong. Of course, being as curious as my grandmother and I were, we drove to the house to see if there was anything happening. And sadly, we couldn't see anything from the outside other than the neighbors giving us the death stare as we passed. Thanks for reading, Al.
Oy. That's a bummer, dude. So it's not a Hallmark movie.
It isn't. It's now we've gone into a kind of, it could be an art horror film, like an A24 production.
Yeah. Should I do one more of this? But I have my friend's one. So do hers.
What do you think? Yeah, do hers.
Okay. My friend Dori Shafrir, she just wrote her first novel. It came out recently. It's getting fucking rave reviews. It's called Startup, and I just bought it.
Cool.
So everyone check it out. So she sent me her hometown, which is it's a one that I've wanted to do because it's good, but there's no like great ending. It's just like a bummer. So I'm glad she did it. And so
she took the hit.
She's taken it. It's a good hometown, but it's not a good like murder.
Long term.
So,
yeah.
So should I put on speaker and then, okay, ready?
Yes.
Hey, Georgia. Hey, Karen. This is Dori. And I am calling with the story of a woman named Karina Homer, who was murdered in Boston in June of 1996. And she was 20 years old. She was an au pair from Sweden. And she was found in a dumpster in the Back Bay. Very nice neighborhood in Boston. And the crazy thing about it is only half of her was found. Mm-mm. And the other half of her has never been found. Mm-mm. And the case has never been solved. So here's a little bit more about the murder. I had just turned 19 in the summer of 1996, and I was home for the summer. And when she was murdered after going out partying with a bunch of other Swedish au pairs.
Yeah.
At this club called Zanzibar in downtown Boston. And it was on this, in this like alley called The Alley, where there were a bunch of different bars and clubs. And it was kind of like the worst fratty, collegey, grossest combination of bars and clubs you can imagine. And bars in Boston close at 2. Bars and clubs close at 2. But the tea stops running, I think, at midnight, or maybe even some lines maybe separating a little earlier. So
I picture she's recording this as she's doing sending
too,
email.
But there's no way to get home, so everyone's trying to get a cab, and it's just like shitty and crazy. And apparently, she was totally wasted and was last seen kind of stumbling down the street, and supposedly all her friends had left her there. And you know, this was 1996. There were no cell phones.
Don't do it. No.
She wasn't, you know, she wasn't able to text anyone. And then 12 hours later, she was found in the dumpster. She had been staying in South Boston at the apartment that was owned by the family she was an au pair for. And some suspicion fell on the dad and the family, but then he was later cleared, and the case has just been cold for 20 years. They don't know.
That's crazy.
They still don't have happened.
I think that's it. There's another, I don't know if she...
And then she just wandered out of the room. Dory, that is an unbelievable story.
Yeah, there's more.
I did not know that at all. I don't know anything about that. She was fucking severed like the Black Dahlia.
Oh, wait a second.
Part two?
Steven's paying it back. No. Oh, sorry. Wait. Okay, let me... I think she left it again, but then she ended it better. Not better, but then she said... For a while, the alley with the was a ghost town... and no one's been ever charged for the murder.
Well, I think that's it for the hometowns this week. Yeah. Wow. What a roundup of horrible stories.
If you guys think you can beat that, send your hometowns to myfavoritemurder@gmail.com. Beg and plead with Steven to put yours on. He'll probably do it.
Yeah, he will. I want to hear stories of ER doctors and nurses telling crazy, even if they're not murders, crazy shit that they've seen or experienced. That's what made me think of in that first one where it's just like, those people see insane shit.
Or EMTs.
Yo, my God.
They have some shit stories, right?
Dude, I sat next to our family friend, Dave Zweier, who is now a San Francisco fireman, but he was in training. They basically are EMTs first. At one wedding, we sat there and he was telling us these stories where I was just like, how does anyone do this job? They basically go and pick up, you know, people that have been like hit by cars on the freeway type of shit.
I could never do that.
It's so stressful. Every time I drive by an ambulance, I like want to buy them coffee or drugs.
There has to be a good percentage of them that have PTSD.
I just think they do it for a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah.
I mean, from what the people that I know, but usually it's because they're training to do something else. But it would be interesting to know who's the longest running EMT.
Well, he's probably the psychopath.
I mean, I would hope so.
You send us first responders. Send us your cool stories.
Yeah.
Is that exploitative? Doesn't matter.
Well, it's up to you.
Yeah.
So if it is, it's on you, motherfucker.
Yeah. Listen, we just ask for it.
Look.
Listen. You deliver.
Listen.
Maybe we're kidding.
Look.
You don't know.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Stay sexy.
And don't get murdered.
Bye.
That was so annoying.
That was horrible.